All right, welcome into the Armchair Champions. It is Monday morning and we're on a different day than normal, but this is where we're going to be for the time being. So just expect it every Monday from 9 to 10 until we tell you otherwise. But yeah, so I am Ethan and I'm going to be here for a little bit, but I'm going to bail because I've got classes.
Yeah, he's leaving us. He's got important things to do.
Yeah, I mean, going to chemistry is quite important, especially for my thing three. So I get to do that, and then I get to play billiards after that, so that one's not as important, but that's also going to be after the show will be over. And in with us today we also have Evan.
Yeah, it's good to be here. Monday's yes. A new thing for me.
Yeah, we're just like, I'm not sure I want to be here.
It's the start of school, so it's good to be here
indeed. Yeah, I mean, it's the beginning of the school year, so there's mixed feelings for me. On the one hand, I'm sort of excited to go to these classes because I get a little bit farther along in on my degree, and then at the same time, I'd be like, crap, I'm going to have to do homework again, and that isn't something that I consider enviable.
Yeah, but I am kind of excited, and I guess I'm the same with you, like mixed feelings where I know I'm going to have to do homework and things like that. But, you know, also, we're getting into the actual exciting part of the sports world.
True.
I mean, college football is starting this week. Utah State's playing. I already got my ticket for the game.
Yeah, if you haven't gotten your ticket and you're listening, make sure you go to the ticket office, either at the TSE or the Spectrum, and get your tickets, because if you don't do it sooner rather than later, you're going to end up sitting way back, or I guess standing. You better be standing if you're a student. I guess if you're not and you're listening, then I'm not going to expect you to stand, but it would be awesome. But yeah, go get your tickets, particularly for the students. You have to go take your ID. You don't have to pay anything if you're a student, but you'd have to get a ticket in order to reserve a seat. But yeah, we play on Thursday. Mm-hmm. Against Weber State, and we're striping the Mav. So make sure you coordinate with the section you're going to be in. I believe it's odds are white, or odds are blue, actually,
I think. And evens are white. But when I went and got my ticket, they told me they've got, at least in the TSC one, they've got this big whiteboard, and you know they're marking it off, and then they told me I'm wearing white. I'm going to be kind of in the
middle
section.
What section are you in?
14.
Well, okay.
I can just look at my ticket.
Yeah, look at your ticket, because I want to be sure to let everyone know how this is going to go. Because I'm pretty sure that the odds are blue, because I think I remember the middle section on the student side being blue.
Yeah, so I'm in section 118.
Wow, why did you get back there?
Well, I don't know. It's just the one I got. It says section 118. It's like row 14.
So I'm yeah. Back,
but. No. Either way, know your t-shirt color.
Yeah, so evens are going to be white. Odd sections are going to be blue. And no, the thing about it is, like, 118 means that you're behind. You're like on the upper level, and you're going to be kind of like,
mine was in the lower. That's where they were pointing my seat.
Maybe they're numbering it differently this year, but I remember the middle section on the student side, like the front section, is 15. So maybe they're numbering them differently this year, but that's how they used to number them last year.
Yeah.
So I would have to check that. Either way, I still have to get work off, but I'm going to be in the press box or on the field, so I don't have to worry about it.
That's exciting.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, so I guess look for that after the game, after our football games here at Utah State. I'm going to be doing an audio review that we'll post that night as soon as possible, and it'll also be attached to Statesman Online Recap, so should be a lot of fun.
Yeah. And we're going to talk a little bit about that game a little later in the hour. But first, a couple of little, I guess, sports news. The first one, the Jazz traded. When I sent you the clock telling what we were going to be talking about, you mentioned you didn't even know they traded anybody, which I guess shows how small this move was. Although my dad, he sent me a text. I was at work. And he said the Jazz made a huge trade today.
Huge.
I wasn't in a position.
I mean, I guess the guy is pretty big.
Yeah, that was his thing, is that he sent it with the intention of me, like, freaking out, and I was at work, so I couldn't look it up. And so I was like, you gotta tell me what they did. Like, did they trade Gordon Hayward, Derek Favors? What did they do? And they said, oh, they traded Tibor Pleiss. And I was like, it's huge because he's 7'3".
Yeah, like, he is a big dude.
Yeah, he's not small, but it's like, come on, man.
Thanks, Dad.
Yeah.
Come on, son.
Thanks a lot. You just, like, made me go crazy for, you know,
no, like at
20 minutes.
At this point, there's no way that they would trade any of their starters.
Yeah.
You know, other than if they got, you know, just a screaming deal on, like, someone that was way better. And they would have to also be fairly young. You wouldn't be trading, you know, a young player that's really good for someone who's past their prime and only has a couple years left, but are a little bit better. So,
yeah.
Yeah, they're not going to trade any of their starting five because they're not going to get that offer for it's just a screaming deal. But even on most of those, like, I wouldn't even want it if I was Jazz because, like, say James Harden was available. Like, I wouldn't want James Harden on the Jazz for one.
I wouldn't really either.
And I don't think that he's a replacement. Like much better. Sure, offensively he's great, but he's such a liability on defense, it wouldn't make sense. And that's the case with a lot of these different guys. Yeah, I mean, maybe they're slightly better because of how good they are on one side of the ball, but is it really worth it?
Yeah, that's the thing is, there's like this list of players, like in my mind, of players that are good, but I don't think they're ever going to win a championship because they're just not good enough all around, and they're just not built to carry a team. James Harden's one of those. Carmelo Anthony is another. I think just the way they play, yeah, they're going to get the mega deals and score lots of points and be all-stars every year, but they're not really going to be all-time greats because they only play, like, one side of the ball. You know, like LeBron James, he's really the best all-around player in the NBA.
Oh, hands down.
And that's why he's won, what, 3 titles now? That's why he's been to the finals every year for the past, like, 7 years.
Yeah, he's absolutely fantastic all over the place, and it really makes a huge difference for his team all the time. Going back to James Harden, he's really good on offense, like you said, but he doesn't do enough all the way around to be able to, you know, to win a series for the Rockets, whereas LeBron James is capable of that.
Yeah. All right, so the next bit of news. So, again, I feel like I'm one of the few soccer fans like in all of Logan, because I guess I'm the only one who cares. The Real Salt Lake, they played Friday, and they played against Colorado, the Colorado Rapids, their rival, and they won, and that means they win the Rocky Mountain Cup. Yeah, and so it was really a stressful game. Real Salt Lake, they missed 2 penalties in the game. One of them, it was kind of a ball don't lie, you know, he missed it, and it was a terrible penalty call. But then the other one, it got saved, and they should have scored.
So sorry, like a question on this particular competition. This is like between them over the course of the season, like who's been better between the two?
Yeah, it's a regular season type thing. It's kind of unique. I don't know if I've really seen anything like it. The only thing that seems to compare is the trophy they hand out to between BYU and Utah that they have, or like overall competitions. I forget what they call it. But yeah, this one, whoever wins, they played 3 times this season, and you know, based on like the scoring and stuff like that for soccer playoffs, like, you know, goal difference, you know, away goals, or just flat out winning all the games. That's
winning.
Yeah. And that's what we did. We won 2 of the 3 games,
which is good because honestly, Real Salt Lake has had way too many draws this year.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not that they've been losing a bunch of games, but they just haven't been winning them either.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that I constantly kind of whine about with soccer is that you don't have a clear winner each game. It's kind of dumb in my mind.
Yeah. And there was one game that I watched. Real Salt Lake dominated the entire game, ended up losing on penalties because they couldn't score. It was really frustrating.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, like, I mean, I would rather have a shootout at the end of each game to determine a winner over not having a determined winner. But at the same time, I would prefer that they, like, have overtime or whatever and actually like have one of the teams end up scoring more. But either way, I think that there should be a winner, but it is good that they were able to win the games because they, like I said, they've been having a lot of draws. So yeah. Improvements, you know, from draws to wins make a huge difference, especially when you're talking about, you know, when they get into like cup games for the MLS Cup.
Yeah. And so hopefully they'll improve their offense, but that was one of the struggles they had, is just not scoring enough in a stretch of games. But anyway, let's move on. So we have our segment, Critical Condition.
I'm excited we get to talk about this before I have to leave.
Yeah. So this is where basically, you know, along with armchair champions, we're also armchair doctors, you know, take players, coaches, teams, whatever.
The best part is we're leaning back, and, like, we're reclined, and we're, you know, examining the patient.
Surgery, yeah, from a big lazy boy. You know?
Yeah, it's just like, not even, you can't even see what's going on in there. You're just digging around.
Yeah, like, I know
if
what
that
I'm
didn't
doing,
paint a picture for you, then you're, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you, but you're probably thinking, oh my goodness, like, what is wrong with these people? That is a terrible visual.
So many things.
All right. So, our patient today is Tony Romo. And Tony Romo, he just fractured his L1 vertebrae, or vertebra, I don't know how exactly to...
I think it's vertebrae.
Vertebrae, okay. Yeah. And so he's going to be out some estimated 6 to 10 weeks. And
Romo broke his back again.
Yes, again.
Jeez.
And you know, I mean, and if he were like Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers, you could like make a joke about him breaking his back because he was carrying the team. But Romo really hasn't done that. Not that I don't think that he could if needed, but he hasn't needed to even do that.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got great offensive line. The running game has a lot of success because of the offensive line and because of the backs that they've had. DeMarco Murray was good, and now they've got Ezekiel Elliott, who should be really good.
Yeah.
Darren McFadden still got 1,000 yards, even when he was the running back, and Darren McFadden has been overall a disappointment. When he couldn't, the Raiders wouldn't keep him because he wasn't, you know, worth it.
Kept getting injured, too.
Yeah, and, I mean, that's going to be a problem for him as well, but, I mean, I guess as a backup, you probably won't run into that nearly as much.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so he hasn't really had to carry his team, so that I would say that he... You know, you can't make that joke about him breaking his back because he was carrying the team. Yeah. I make that when I'm playing Halo and I'm doing way better than my teammates. Only if I know them. I mean, I don't say that to random strangers because, like, they would... they'd be like, what are you talking about? Don't be, a jerk or whatever. But when I'm playing with my friends...
You want to, though.
kind of. No, but when I'm playing with my friends or whatever, people I know, and I do way better than them, I'm like, guys, my back hurts. They're like, why? From carrying the team. And so, I mean, I wish I could make that joke. I just don't feel like it applies to Romo. But, yeah, I mean, rest in peace to the fantasy teams that drafted before he got injured and picked him.
Well, hopefully they weren't drafting him very high.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, for the most part, people won't do it. They won't draft him very early. I mean, if you're drafting right, you shouldn't be drafting quarterbacks that early, because there's not like as much of a difference as far as potential fantasy points on quarterbacks. Yeah, there is some, but it's not nearly as much as it is for wide receivers and running backs.
Yeah,
but some people still take quarterbacks in the first round. For example, in the draft we had yesterday for one of my leagues, someone took Cam Newton in the first round. Which, I mean, I guess if you're going to pick a quarterback, go with the one that's the highest projected. I personally think he's going to take a step back this year,
yeah. And
I don't think he'll be the best fantasy quarterback at the end of the year. But, I mean, I wouldn't have picked a quarterback in the first round anyway.
Yeah, it's, well, the first year...
But maybe it'll work. You never know. Yeah. Like... You know, you like look at it and you're just like, dang, I got a good draft. And then later on you find out that it really wasn't, like, you just had bad luck or whatever. Either guys get injured or just don't show up that year and don't play as well.
Fantasy football rookies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, hey,
Evan's one of those.
Yeah, like so me.
The first year that I played fantasy football, drafted Tom Brady in the first round, and that was the year he blew out his ACL. And guess what?
Week one against the Chiefs.
But guess what? I won the Super Bowl. Thanks, Brandon Jacobs.
The Super Bowl? No, you didn't win the Super Bowl. You can't have your championship be called the Super Bowl,
okay,
because that's a real thing.
Okay, I won the fantasy football Super Bowl thing, whatever it's called. I won the
championship?
League. I won the league.
You won the league. That works.
I like fantasy
football. But you can't say
Super
Bowl.
Well, there was a playoff and all that, so it's...
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a championship, but it's not the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Because you can't say, I won the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl is the championship of the NFL, not of fantasy football.
All right.
What were you going to say, Evan?
No, I was just going to say, I like the fantasy football Super Bowl thing. That's what we should. We can just end debate now, called the thing.
Well, we do have to come up with a name for the fantasy football league that we're doing for people here at Aggie Radio. So we're going to have to figure out a name for a championship or whatever. But, yeah, we'll, that'll be determined later.
Call it the Radio Bowl.
But anyway, back to Romo.
Yeah, so basically, we're wondering, is this the end of Romo's career, like, effectively? We know he's going to come back and at least play, you know.
Well, I mean, maybe for a minute he's going to come back and play.
Well, yeah, he's going to at least try to come back. So, obviously, we know he's going to try to come back, but he's, like, 36. This is his second straight year of going to miss most of the season. Last year, he only played 4 games. So, if he misses the, like, maximum estimated 10 games and plays the rest of the last 6, assuming he does come back and actually play,
yeah,
he would have played 10 games in 2 years.
Yeah. Which,
and for a guy that's 36 that keeps breaking bones, that's not a good sign.
I'm going to put on my my armchair doctor hat, and I'm going to say, oh, sorry, I better actually pretend to put it on.
There you go.
got my stethoscope, taking the pulse. Oh, it's getting fainter.
I feel like I'm really in the doctor's office here.
I think that, no, yeah.
Doctor, what's going to happen?
I mean, his career is essentially over at this point.
We're losing him.
He might come back and play a little bit this year, but I have a hard time believing that he's going to have a full year in the NFL again, because as you get older, you get more likely to get injured, and he's been injured a lot the last 3 years, and so he's just getting injured one after another,
especially
and
on
this
his
is
back,
just the latest
though.
Of it. Yeah,
like that's,
especially on his back, and you
that's
can't,
serious, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's serious in the sense that that's something that takes a while to heal from.
Yeah.
Like, with your vertebrae, you can't, like, rush that. You can't take a chance of getting it hurt worse. You have to wait for it to completely heal. It also depends. I think that Dak Prescott has showed a lot in the preseason, and it'll be to the point where, you know, Cowboys aren't worried about, you know, him coming back, and he's just kind of, he's at the age, he's pretty old. He's, I think, 37, 36 or 37,
yeah,
and
he's like 36. He'll turn 37 in April.
Okay, so yeah, I was pretty close, and so he's up there in age, and really that's about the time in quarterbacks' careers, and you know, most athletes, like, where they begin to decline a bunch. You saw it a couple years ago. Peyton Manning did awesome, and then suddenly he was, you know, he didn't have as much strength, and it was a lot more injury prone. Well, Romo was already super injury prone, obviously, with as much as he's been injured, breaking his collarbone or, you know, breaking his back a couple times now.
He needs to drink some milk.
Yeah, seriously. This guy's got osteoporosis or something.
Just buy him a cow.
Yeah.
He can buy his own cow.
You're down in Texas.
He signed like a $100 million contract. Buy his own cow.
Or at least enough milk to strengthen your bones there.
Yeah, so I mean, for me, I don't think that he's going to come. I don't think he's going to have an effective season in the NFL again. I don't think he'll play a full season. Either this year Dak Prescott will do well enough that the Cowboys are just going to go with him moving forward, or it's going to be an issue where, you know, he just doesn't stay healthy for a full season again. Either way, I don't think that he has much left to offer, and so I'm going to say that his condition is terminal.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree, and that's...
He might fight for it a little bit,
yeah,
but...
he'll keep fighting. I think he'll kind of... If Dak Prescott doesn't kind of replacing him, showing that he's good enough that Tony Romo becomes expendable, he'll maybe bounce around the NFL the way, you know, a quarterback like him will do. You know, somebody will pick him up desperate for a franchise quarterback, but he'll end up, you know, eventually retiring because he won't be able to play a full season.
Yeah, and so, I mean, next year is really the last year that he will have the chance to play full year. But given his history and his age, I'd say that he doesn't make it through the whole year. But, yeah.
Which is sad because I kind of like Tony Romo. But
why?
I don't know. It's just, I feel like everybody's been hating on him. I guess because I'm a Patriots fan, and I feel bad for teams that get a lot of hate, except for the Yankees.
because they're in New York?
Yeah.
Or not. Yeah, because they're Yankees
just,
as well.
It's just
because
they're the Yankees. I have nothing special against New York.
Yeah, my least favorite teams go the Patriots, the Cowboys, The Raiders. So,
I'm just too young to really hate on the Cowboys. My dad doesn't like the Cowboys, and it's just I've never picked up on that.
I don't like the Cowboys because the Cowboys think that they're, you know, God's gift to the world and that they're America's team. They call themselves America's team. It's like,
especially with that string of 8-8 seasons.
Yeah, and even like they haven't been relevant for years. If they do make it to the playoffs, they lose every time. So, yeah, I mean, and also you can't call yourself America's team. Like,
they were America's team in the 80s.
That's still not true. Because you realize maybe they had a big fan base, and they still do. Thing about it, though, is to say you're America's team would mean that, you know, almost the entire country is cheering for you. That's certainly not the case.
I guess Team USA is America's team.
That's true.
But yeah, I guess
because it is, you know, the team of the United States of America. Yeah. So,
and I guess
that makes sense. And I hate the pride factor and the arrogance that comes with Cowboys. And it's kind of like with the Raiders' commitment to excellence theme, that their commitment to excellence has led them to not have a winning season in over 10 years. So I think they'll change that this year, but it's just funny to me that they're swimming around in 4-12 seasons and still have their theme be commitment to excellence.
Yeah. So I guess just when teams are just down in the dumps, I stop hating on them. Like, I hated the Jets for that. The string of fears when they were going to the AFC Championships, they were really a rival to the Patriots, and then they started sucking, and I was just like,
I don't care anymore.
Yeah, I feel bad for you now, and I just laugh, kind of. And now they're starting to be good again, so now I have to start hating them again. But I guess that's why with
especially because Revis went over there, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, I got to go bounce to class, so you guys have fun with the rest of the show, and
all right, we will.
I'll catch you later.
All right. Okay, so now moving on to you got Utah State, so they're playing Weber this Thursday. We already talked about that and getting tickets and whatnot. So really, situation, let's just break it down. Utah State has played Weber 14 times, and they've won 13 of those matchups. And so the last time they lost, can you guess when the last time they lost?
I'm going to say it was some early 2000s. I'm going to throw that out there.
No. Try late 70s.
Late 70s,
1978, wow. They lost 44-25. Jeez. So they got kind of blown out.
So bad year, I guess. Must have been a bad year.
But Utah State has won the last 7 times by an average of 29.9 points. They've won by almost 30 points for a long time.
Yeah, and personally, I don't really expect that to change this year. This seems like a warm-up game, too, which should be, I think, is a really good season. But, yeah. You know.
The last time they played, I think it was 2013, they won like 70-6. So it's like...
Oh, yeah, I think I was at that game, actually. That was Yonsville, for sure.
Yeah. So. Well, it's fun to watch, you know, the Scrubs get in, score a couple touchdowns. So that's what it is.
Greatest moment of their life.
Yeah. I scored a touchdown! Against who? Weber State. But I guess, Weber, they did come off their best season in a while, which isn't saying much. They won 6 games last year, which was as many as they'd won the last 3 years.
Jeez.
Wow. So they'd won an average of 2 games for 3 years, I guess. They're returning.
And that's the Big Sky Conference,
too. Yeah,
the
Big Sky Conference, which is actually the same conference. I learned this. SUU, Southern Utah, is in the Big Sky, which I didn't know.
Oh, yeah.
And SUU won the Big Sky last year, which made me feel a little bit better about the 12-2-9 win off a punt return touchdown. But anyway, I guess I feel kind of bad doing a game plan like breakdown because like really we're expecting to win this game. They could start me at quarterback and we might even win this game, feeling like. But I guess you shouldn't have that attitude because that's how you lose games.
True.
Is by having that kind of attitude. I mean, just last year when we played Southern Utah, we could have lost that game probably because we had that attitude where it's like, oh, we're gonna blow them out 70-0.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right with that mindset where you're complacent or just too relaxed, even if it is a bad opponent.
Yeah, and you see these games. I mean, and historically, Michigan lost to Appalachian State and all that. But basically, I mean, if Utah State wants to win this game, which, I mean, again, they probably will, but the biggest strength for Weber is probably in their defense and in their run game. I mean, last year they had they kind of split their time between their two running backs. See, there, I have their names somewhere on here. Somebody's saying hi to me. So Eric Wilkes and Trayshon Garrett. Hopefully I said those right. But they Wilkes had 153 carries. Garrett had 123. So they're pretty even as far as number of carries.
But I guess that's good for them to have options.
And they also have a third running back. So it's really just this top three. And again, the top two are the ones they're going to run the ball with more. But and their quarterback also runs a little bit. Didn't run a ton, but I think he's capable. But their passing game isn't so good. Their quarterback had like 1,800 yards, 10 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, like 50% completion percentage.
Yeah.
Not very impressive.
Yeah, not the greatest year for a quarterback.
Yeah. So really it's just, and so this is one of the questions for Utah State's defense, is their front seven. We want to see, we've got a lot of new guys coming in, wondering how are they going to do, linebackers, a couple of defensive linemen. And so it's like, okay, front seven, Weber State's going to try and establish the run. That's their thing. If they're going to win, you know, especially for an underdog team, they want to try and keep the ball. Stop the running game, you stop their offense. So this will be, it is kind of that warm-up, almost scrimmage thing where, okay, this is the type of team you're facing. It's really good for Utah State to be able to test themselves a little bit and, you know, be able to show off their stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm not too worried about this game, though. I mean, I think
I don't think really anybody is.
So, because I think USU, great recruiting year for them, I think.
Yeah.
Considering. So, yeah, I mean, you know, take care of their two big running backs. You know, there might not be much else you have to really consider with them.
Yeah, not really. So this will basically be us, you know, evaluating which players have the really good games. Yeah. You know, maybe see some bench guys, see, okay, maybe this guy's good, you know, when he gets in, gets to play. Should they actually blow them out? You know, get a good look at the depth, see how good they are. That's basically, if all goes according to plan, then those would be the kind of things we're going to talk about after the game is, you know, how did Kent Myers do? You know, did he have a really good game? Did he have some bad throws? Things like that.
Well, plus to know how much depth our team has with, you know, its options. I mean, you talked about bench guys coming off to get to play, and I think this will be their opportunity, you know, just to kind of see who can fill in, especially for some of the big games coming down the stretch, too.
Yeah, and Utah State's got a number of wide receivers who have been fighting. And I feel like it's kind of settled on a few people like Braylon Roberts and Andrew Rodriguez, I think, are two of the top ones. But there's number of guys behind them who showed flashes in camp and in practice and stuff like that, who show if they have really good games against Weber, it's like, okay, coaches are going to take a peek at him and say, all right, let's try this guy out. Because, like so you said, recruiting, I mean, Utah State's got some good guys when they brought in. Like Rashad Lewis was one of them, and he showed some flashes in camp, and they have a couple of junior college transfers and things like that, returning redshirt freshmen. So,
yeah,
I did a piece on the wide receivers for the football preview, so that's how I know this much about wide receivers.
Well, I'm glad you know so much. You know, so.
I couldn't tell you as much about the running backs other than Devontae Mays. That's about all I can tell you. That's all I need to tell you.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else you want to say about the Utah State football game?
I'm not.
Score predictions?
Score predictions?
Over-unders?
I don't know. I'm going to say at least 35 from USU.
Okay, at least 35, so you're going bold.
Yeah, I think
going above the average.
I think they're going to be pumped up because, you know, like we talked about, the good recruiting this year, plus they're ready to really show their stuff. And I think there's a lot of potential this year, especially against, you know, in-state teams. Like, I would say even BYU, I think
you'll play hard against them.
Yeah, and so I think it's going to be an exciting year for them, and I think they want to come out and just establish that right away. So. Yeah.
All right. And then I think 35 points is probably about right, especially if it's late in the game and they score a few points on the backups.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're going to move on to the National Basketball Association. I guess there's not a whole lot to talk about because it still is August, and they don't get started until, like, late October. But there is some anticipation on teams that are going to possibly break out, maybe make a jump. You might say it might be a better word than breakout. I know local fans of the Jazz here are really excited for really what is, in my opinion, like the number one on this list of breakout teams, the Utah Jazz. You're looking at a team that went like 40-42 last season.
Barely missed the playoffs.
Yeah. A lot of it had to do with injuries, but not only have they returned these, you know, like you have Alec Burks and you have guys that just kind of recover from injury-plagued seasons like Rudy Gobert and Derek Favors. And obviously getting Dante Exum back. And then adding George Hill, Joe Johnson. Like, I was really excited about those.
Yeah.
Just because it adds so much depth. And
well, a young team, I think, as well.
Yeah.
Which I think is good for them.
Yeah. And so, really, you're looking at a team that I know Kevin Pelton, he's with ESPN. He did this, like, stat-based prediction. He used the real plus-minus stat that I think he came up with that or is somebody else in the ESPN stat, but he used that, like, with all the players to chart out, you know, who are going to be the best teams. And he had the Jazz at number 3 in the West, right behind the Warriors in San Antonio, which a lot of people would say is probably the ceiling, and it's a pretty high ceiling.
I don't think that's a surprisingly high ceiling.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't think a lot of people actually expect them to finish there, but I would agree that it is a possibility.
Oh, yeah.
And so it is... It's really exciting for me as a Jazz fan to finally be able to anticipate a season of being good and having the expectation of, hey, we're going to make the playoffs and we're going to do something there, as opposed to, well, it's another year of developing our young players.
Yeah. But, yeah, I think it is exciting to see especially a team of younger players developing like this because it looks good, especially down the stretch. I think, obviously, with that ceiling, you know, I think it would take a pretty good year, which I think they can do, to get that high up. But I do think they won't be, like, 7 or 8 in the playoffs.
Yeah, they're going to finish somewhere between, like, 3 and 5. I think 5 is probably the low end. That's if they get hit by injuries again and maybe some disappointments from some players if they don't quite perform or, you know, live up to the expectations we've been placing on them. And then, obviously, if everything goes well, then that would be, like, the 3 in. Heck, even if the San Antonio Spurs take a step back, they could even get the 2 spot. But that's going really high and shooting for the stars.
Yeah.
But the second team, really, that people are looking at, and I know one list put them at number one, the Boston Celtics. Okay. And I guess the reason I didn't put them at number one is mainly because, you know, I think they're going to be, like, right on par with how good the Jazz are. Okay. Maybe even better, maybe worse. Only time will really tell. But they won 48 games last season. And so they're not really a breakout team per se, but the fact is they're going to be a contender in the East this year, I believe. I mean, they added Al Horford. They drafted, like, Jaylen Brown. Like I said, they're already good last season. So they're going to be right up there with the Toronto Raptors, battling the Cleveland Cavaliers for that East spot in the NBA Finals. So it'll be really interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Especially to finally have an East that's interesting.
Yeah, it will be. And
after the past few years, it's like, what are they doing? It's like the Cavs and everybody else is struggling.
The East has featured a team in the finals with LeBron James for the last ever.
So
over like 3 teams.
Yeah, I think that'll be good because I don't know, it's just so many years. It's like all the West has, like, the great teams built for itself.
Yeah,
and then you look to the East, it's like, well, can we have LeBron? Because if not, we're probably not going to go anywhere.
Yeah, you got sub-500 teams making the playoffs in the East. That was kind of sad.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So the third one that I'm looking at, we have the Minnesota Timberwolves. And this is a team that is basically doing what the Jazz were doing, except maybe a little more exponentially. They have some really talented guys on their team. You know, Andrew Wiggins, obviously Karl Anthony Towns is the one that everybody's talking about. You know, he might be replacing Anthony Davis as holding that spot of the next greatest player in the world. You've also got like Zach LaVine, and I can't remember all the other guys they have. They have a really nice squad, and so... I mean, I don't know if they'll make the playoffs this year, but just every year that that young core stays together, they're going to get better.
Yeah, and then with a few extra pieces, I think they could. But yeah, I mean, they, you know, they shared the division with the Jazz, right? They're both in the Northwest?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
They usually play the Jazz a lot, and they're usually pretty annoying. It's like the Jazz always seem to be better, but can't seem to always win against them.
Yeah.
A little frustrating.
Say the least, actually. Yeah. So,
were you going to say something?
No, I just... No, I'd remembered that that the Timberwolves... I remember the coach at the end of the season was like, you know what, we're looking forward to next year. And I think it's a confidence that's well-earned, you know, because they've been quietly putting the pieces together. So
yeah, it is one of those things where, I mean, you look at ESPN occasionally throw out their, you know, future power rankings, and teams that have been up there for the last little while, you've seen the Jazz up there, and the Timberwolves are usually pretty close to the top of that list because of such great young talent. And you said, like, if they add pieces, kind of do what the Jazz did this year, maybe a piece here, a veteran piece there, not necessarily guys that will be their superstar or carry the team, but supplemental players, fill the holes. Like, for the Jazz, the biggest hole they had was a point guard, so they got one. They got a good starting caliber point guard who fits their system, and I think it'll really pay off.
Well, especially when you can get when you can add a veteran in as someone who has obviously been to the playoffs, they've been in pressure situations. Someone to give, like you said, maybe not their superstar as coming off as a veteran, but at least someone who has the leadership skills when it comes to where they want to go. So I think that'll be crucial. Also, just being able to keep their core for the long term, if they're that good, you know.
Yeah, and that's always a struggle, especially you get these small market teams. I mean, you got the Jazz and the Timberwolves and the Thunder just experienced this, where you've built your core. The Thunder had a really good core. They had, you know, Durant, Westbrook, and back in the day they had James Harden.
Well, I think it's like four conference final trips.
Yeah.
So.
And so they were doing really good. They came really close to winning. I mean, they were in the finals playing against LeBron. And then they couldn't keep it together. And admittedly, they kept it together longer than I think, you know, you think the Jazz are really worried about being able to keep their core together. The Thunder were able to have a long stretch of championship window, which unfortunately they didn't get to fill, or, you know, fulfill, I guess is a better word. But, yeah, that will be a question for both the Jazz and, I guess, the Timberwolves down the line. The Jazz are going to face their financial, I guess, challenge beginning, like, next year.
Yeah.
And they're going to have a sweepstakes for Gordon Hayward. And all the Boston Celtics fans seem very confident that they're going to get Gordon Hayward, which I'm in denial about because I really want to think that Gordon Hayward will stay. But every Celtics fan is saying, off-season plan next season, sign Gordon Hayward. It's happening. And I just want to say, no.
Yeah, everybody here in Utah is like, please don't go.
Yeah. Because that'll basically signal, all right, we got to start this all over again. Find somebody.
Yeah.
Because Gordon Hayward is arguably the best player. The other one is like Derek Favors, you can make an argument for. So, you have the Jazz, Celtics, Timberwolves. The next one, speaking of Anthony Davis, the Pelicans.
Okay.
This is a team, again, I've seen a number of people. It seems to be the hot trend of people to say, oh, I believe Anthony Davis is going to be the next greatest player, and I'm the only one who thinks that. You know, it's that, you know, and I mean, I don't really mind Anthony Davis, but I'm not seeing him really living up to that. He's not been able to carry his team. He's putting up impressive stats. He's a good player. He's an all-star.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. But he's not really, I feel like it's just the nature of the NBA that big men, power forwards and centers just can't carry their teams. Like, the last time you've really seen it was Dwight Howard.
Yeah.
He was, like, the last person to be able to actually carry his team. Other than that, if your center is your best player, then you better have a really good second-best player.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at the Spurs with Tim Duncan. Okay, yeah, he may... I mean, of course, the past few years, he was not their best player. They had Kawhi Leonard, Tony Parker.
But they had a lot of support for him, though.
Yeah, it's just a lot of support. And so, I mean, yeah, you can have a center... or a big man is one of your big three. I mean, you usually do. I mean, the Heat had Chris Bosh, and now the Cavaliers have Kevin Love. But, I mean, who's the best player? LeBron James. Yeah. You know, across both those teams.
Yeah, plus I don't know how I feel about, like, one guy carrying a team.
Yeah, I mean.
LeBron has kind of done that sometimes. But yeah. I don't know. I just think.
He's never won a title, like, carrying his team. Like, with that first Cavs team.
Yeah.
I mean. Nobody could have carried that team to the finals. Michael Jordan wouldn't have won a finals with that team.
Yeah, so I don't know. I just think it's just that. I don't know. That's not enough support for that guy.
Yeah.
I think that team to be really well, really good this year.
Yeah, but I mean, the Pelicans, they did draft Buddy Hield, I think is how you say his name. It's like H-I-E-L-D, either Hield, Hield or Hield.
Yeah.
That's the guy from Oklahoma.
Okay.
And. I mean, I actually kind of liked him. I thought it would be kind of cool if the Jazz ended up with him. Although, of course, they didn't. They were picking 13th, and he went, like, top 10. So they've added an outside scoring presence. I mean, they had Eric Gordon, but Eric Gordon was always injured. And so if Buddy can come in and actually help Anthony Davis out, then they could kind of jump up a little bit, maybe even sneak into the playoffs. It's going to be a pretty competitive playoff race, I think, at the end, just like it was this past year. I mean, the West is always pretty competitive. But anyway,
yeah.
That's the Pelicans with their scary mascot.
Frightening.
Remember those stories. So the last one that I have, this is the fifth one. After that, I don't really see too many teams jumping up. And this one's kind of iffy. It's the Bulls.
Okay.
So
different team than what I thought number five would be. But
yeah,
that's all right.
Who are you thinking of?
I mean, obviously this was still kind of a question mark for me, but the Knicks, just seeing how.
Yeah, the Knicks are one.
I mean, there's some injury concerns, I think, with Rose. But anyway, so we got the Bulls on.
Yeah, so the Bulls, so they lost Pau Gasol, and obviously they traded Derrick Rose away. But they added Dwayne Wade, albeit old Wade. He did score 19 points a game last season, so he's not. He's not in that Tony Romo stage of his career is dying.
But I think he's a solid team player.
Yeah.
I mean, even when he was at Miami, like, he was never, like, for instance, the most paid player. He wasn't the loudest player. I think he's a good team leader in that way.
And the Miami Heat, I believe they were the third seed last season. So he helped that team be good. So. And albeit he had some really good pieces around him, Hassan Whiteside and all the rest. But... I think with him, with Jimmy Butler on that team as well, and they added Rajon Rondo, which I'm not a huge Rondo guy. He's kind of one of those stat stuffers, but questionable as to whether or not he's actually making a positive impact on the team. But he's still a starting caliber point guard, maybe even slightly above average. He averaged like 10 points, 10 assists last season. So you think with that, and they've still got a few good pieces, like a couple big men, Taj Gibson and I think Robin Lopez, who aren't super great, but they're still good.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a team that could make that jump. If they finished like ninth in the East last season, they could make that jump into the playoffs.
I think losing Joakim Noah, you know, a guy – that can really come off the bench for them.
They didn't have Joakim Noah for most of last season, and they still did all right.
Yeah, I think when he was good, you know, coming off the bench, I think that was a really great option. Yeah. But, I think there'll be a question mark for that team, you know, because it seems like they're coming together, which I think finally, you know.
Yeah.
Especially just the way that organization has been handled since the end of the Jordan era. I haven't been really impressed or pleased with, and you know, I think it'll be good, you know.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting to see Dwayne Wade not playing for the Heat.
Yeah,
but and of course Rajon Rondo's be doing his best Shaq impression, just bouncing around everywhere that he can go. But although the Knicks, so they're another team that I do think they're going to make a jump probably into the playoffs. But I'm not nearly as high as some people are on them. I know I've seen some people, typically they're native New Yorkers or like live in New York.
Yeah.
I know there's one, I think Greg Anthony. He was saying the Knicks could go all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals, which for me, no.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I do believe that they have put together a team that can make the playoffs.
Yeah.
And so I guess they are a breakout team in that sense.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like what the Brooklyn Nets were trying to do, where they brought in a bunch of good players, a little older, they're in the twilight of their careers.
Yeah.
And ultimately it's not going to end well. Now, I think the Knicks are in a little better situation than the Nets.
Granted, if Rose stays healthy.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's a big thing.
Yeah, that
it's not all him, but, you know, I think he needs to stay healthy if they're going to really be effective with the people they brought in. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, and I think one of the things, though, along with Rose, that'll make them good, the fact that they brought in Brandon Jennings, I think will be a good backup. Also, Courtney Lee, just adding some depth to this team. That is one thing that I think will make them better, aside from the headline Derrick Rose and Joakim Noah additions. Which, again, if they stay healthy, which that's an enormous enormous, it's the elephant in the room, then they can be a middling Eastern Conference playoff team, I think. Because, I mean, they do have Carmelo Anthony and Kristaps Porzingis. They won 30-something games last season. It's not inconceivable to see them winning 40 to 45 games. Because honestly, I see them in a similar situation to the Bulls of last year. Because you look at their main core, they've got Derrick Rose, Carmelo Anthony, kind of a wing scorer, and then they've got Kristaps Porzingis, like big man who can stretch the floor and shoot. And the Bulls last season, they had Derrick Rose, Jimmy Butler, the scoring wing, and Pau Gasol, a big man who can stretch the floor. And so it's like the same team. And so, again, I think they can make the playoffs, but they're doomed to eventually fall.
Yeah, and short. I think maybe on that, I think now that I think about maybe why they can't be seen as maybe a breakout team, is simply that, like we were talking about, this is a lot of already established guys, kind of older, coming into play. So it seems like it seems like a short term plan to me. I mean, just like from a GM perspective, it looks like we want to win in the short term. But, you know.
Yeah, and it's the same thing with the Bulls, and that's, again, they're still a question mark. It's that they brought in Dwayne Wade and Rajon Rondo. Is that the future of the team?
Probably not.
Yeah, for the next 3 years? Two years? Maybe? How long? What was the contract D-Wade signed? Like 1 or 2 years?
I think it was two.
Yeah, he's going to retire in the next 5 years. I mean, because he's getting up there in age. He's like 34, 35. And so... And that's one thing that I really don't like teams doing is having these short-term plans. These short-term, I want to win now. It worked for the NFL with the Broncos. They signed Peyton Manning as a win-now move.
Yeah.
They won a Super Bowl.
It can work in baseball, but doesn't seem always in basketball, though.
Yeah, in basketball, I mean, the Nets tried to do it. The Knicks are trying to do it. So are the Bulls. Dallas is constantly trying to do it and failing at it.
Yeah.
The Spurs aren't doing it, and they're really good.
Well, I think what it is, I don't know, part of me wonders if it's the Eastern Conference, like with a lot of these teams that are just now assembled, trying to almost not imitate the West, but try to get up to par. Because in the West, you've got the more of a presence of teams that are, you know, a tight core that's with each other for years.
Yeah.
And it seems like in the East, at least lately, it's like one or two man shows with some support, but not really.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that is a good point, because you do look at the West teams and you think, okay, which teams built their core? The Warriors built their core. They drafted a lot of their players. San Antonio Spurs? Probably the best managed team in the NBA.
You know.
And best coach, too.
Yeah.
You had the Thunder. They built their core. You know, it's kind of falling apart, but they had it for like 5-6 years.
Back when the Lakers were good.
Yeah, that Lakers were able to do an that.
Amazing group of guys. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Although recently they've been trying that bring in people strategy.
Yeah.
Although now they finally drafted a guy. We'll see what he does, Brandon Ingram. But you look at the Jazz. There's another one. I'm suddenly blanking on who all is in the Western Conference. The Grizzlies, I think they built their team.
Yeah.
I think they did like a draft day trade for Marc Gasol, I think.
Yeah. They've
built their core.
Yeah, and that seems to be the pattern in the West, especially with the teams that do well. It's like these guys are in that system.
Yeah.
Whereas I don't see it as much in the East, so.
Yeah. The Boston Celtics are really the only team in the East who seems to have been following that build your team. Yeah. And even then, there's been a lot of turnover.
Yeah.
And but I mean, still, they've stockpiled a bajillion draft picks, and now they're starting to pay it off. So, yeah, that is the thing that I feel like you look at the teams that are going to be doing well over the next few years, they're the ones who built their teams. Mm. And the teams that try to sign veterans are the guys that are failing.
Yeah. Even with short-term success, I mean, even theoretically, if it were to pay off now, you know, that's going to be a quick fall.
And I guess some people are just willing, if we can get that championship this year, then we can live through 5 or 6 years of sucking, which honestly, I would actually do that in Utah. If we can win a championship this year, we can be bad for the next 10 years and I'll be okay with it.
Yeah, just one.
Just one.
You know, yeah.
That's my nightmare of the 90s, the fact the Jazz didn't win a championship. I have to live with that, even though I was barely alive back then. But anyway, that's about all the time we got. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We're going to be back next week again. We're going to be on every Monday, 9 o'clock. And so tune in. We're going to be the first, you know, Aggie Radio that you'll hear in the week. So we'll have the first take on everything.
Everything.
At least that happens before Monday. We won't give
over
you
the weekend. We've got it nailed. Yeah. You know.
We won't give you Monday Night Football, but you know, everything else we can give you.
Yeah.
Across the entire sports spectrum, from soccer to the NFL.
Yeah. All right. Well, we are going to leave you with Nirvana's "Come As You Are." So, have a great start to your school year.